We head now back to basketball, which is what happens when you listen to me. Trevor Magnotti joins me on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is on Twitter at Illegal Screens. We've had him on the program before. Does an outstanding job. Authors for Fansided and, of course, the Step Back Pod as well. Trevor, good day. How are you? Thanks for joining me.
Doing good. Glad to be back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you taking a couple minutes here. Just give me your breakdown of what the Cavaliers did on Thursday night. I know you had some reservations as far as Darius Garland and Colin Sexton in the same backcourt together goes, but did you think that was the right pick, grabbing Garland there at five?
Yeah, it's not ideal. I think that if they thought that he was the best guy on the board, I mean, there's an argument that it could work out. I mean, the idea, it seems to be, is that they want to try to craft a team around kind of like a Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum relationship with Sexton and Garland, which isn't the worst idea, but is going to be something that I think is probably going to be incredibly hard to pull off in practice. Having Jarrett Culver available at five and having him go the next pick, I think was really not concerning to me, but I kind of question the decision-making there. He seemed like a much better fit for the way that the team is currently constructed and kind of what you can expect to get out of this type of draft. A guy who I think was probably going to help the team to a pretty significant level next year and then kind of adds potential for star value. Garland, I think, is probably going to be more of a guy where you're leaning on him to probably provide a little bit more than he's ready for next year. And it's probably going to be, like Sexton, a slow learning process for him to get to the point that you need him to be for this team to start picking up a significant number of wins with him as a generator. So I think that this really means that they are kind of not tethered to Colin Sexton. They're not married to the idea of him being a primary creator for this team. And I think that now we're going to see over the next year or so, which one of these two guys can kind of push ahead and really become the centerpiece of what they're going to be moving forward.
Is it too early, do you think, Trevor, to make that determination on Sexton, that whether or not you think he's going to be a sixth man or if he's best off ball with, you know, a primary creator next to him? Do you think we know enough about Colin Sexton to judge that just yet?
I don't think so. I think the big thing that I'm looking for now at this coming year is seeing how he does continuing to grow into kind of that off-ball role. We saw him really develop significantly once Kevin Love came back at the end of last year, obviously had the huge spike in his shooting numbers. And I think a lot of that came from him being a lot more comfortable in kind of that secondary playmaking role. Now with Garland available, Garland, you're hoping at least, can be the primary guy, and Sexton can kind of switch between being a primary and secondary, kind of carrying bench units and then playing off Garland. And I think that that could be a little bit more ideal for him. So I think that the book is not written on Sexton yet. Definitely we need to see if he can carry over that shooting development that he showed throughout the year, if he can continue to develop as a playmaker, and probably most importantly, continue to develop as a defender, because now you're facing significant defense questions with him and Garland. So I think that we're still going to see probably some significant development from Sexton heading into year two, and that it's definitely too early to say with any certainty which one of these guys is the better long-term option for the team to kind of marry themselves to.
Trevor Magnotti joins me. Great NBA draft stuff, EuroLeague for the Step Back. You can read him on Fansided as well. He's on Twitter at Illegal Screens. So I guess the next question is, does this hinder Collins' development as a playmaker and just, I guess, as a focal point of the offense, having Garland on the floor with him? Let's assume they're going to be playing together quite a bit within the same backcourt. Do you think this hinders his development as a playmaker, or can you sort of spin it the other way and say, well, now he's got somebody to help him shoulder the load, so maybe he can pick his spots a little bit better?
I think that it's kind of a neutral thing for Sexton. I think that more it has a negative impact, I think, on Garland. Having two guys who have similar skill sets who are going to be playing a lot of the same roles when they're on the floor and having them try to share the floor at the same time, I get a little bit nervous about that turning into kind of like a Kyrie Irving, Deion Waiters, your turn, my turn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually negatively impacts the guy who's coming in second, who feels like he needs to have a little bit more of a chip on his shoulder, needs to prove himself a little bit more against the guy who's a little bit older, a little bit more familiar with the system. So I worry a little bit about that. For Sexton, I think that there's potentially some positives. I think that he probably is still going to take a lot of the defensive responsibilities at kind of the lead guard position, which I think is a little bit better for what his skill set is ultimately going to be on defense. I think that it allows him to kind of drift into the off-ball role a little bit more, which he could be more effective in. But I think that, you know, I think that this is something where there were probably a lot better options on the board, particularly Culver and the guy who went immediately after Culver, Kobe White, in my opinion, who made a lot more sense with Sexton in terms of kind of projecting Sexton to be your starting point guard in the future. And I think that this fit kind of does relegate him to a little bit to that sixth man or kind of that like fourth or fifth option type that, you know, maybe he has a little bit more talent than that type of player, but now he's kind of pigeonholed into that role and now kind of has to make the best of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little bit my concern, is less like the fit of those two playing together and more kind of like what is Sexton's ultimate role now end up, because you're going to want to give Garland all the opportunities you can to get the most out of him too.
And I will say this, Trevor Magnotti joining me, you know, we can say all we want, yeah, it's going to be the Portland Trailblazers. Well, Damian Lillard's 28 years old, CJ McCollum's 27 years old, so it's not going to happen overnight that you have the two of them playing those roles, and certainly it will be potentially a long growth process with the two of them together. Last question about Garland, just give me your scouting report on him. What did you think of him? You know, where did he fall in line as far as, it looked like the Cavaliers went for the shooting and the talent, and, you know, did that fit what you saw, Culver aside and Kobe White aside? Did you feel like, at the very least, he was drafted kind of in the right spot?
Yeah, I think that range was perfect for him. It's not like they were Washington and reaching to grab Rui Hachimura in the top 10.
Ooh, I hated that.
The Cavs were far from the only team to not make an ideal decision on draft night. But I think that Garland at least should have gone in that range. I think that the main things that he brings to the table are he's probably the best pull-up shooter in the draft. He has the best handle in the draft as well. He's able to get defenders broken down one-on-one in isolation situations and out of the pick-and-roll. Very comfortable scorer in the pick-and-roll, which is exciting. Also has a lot of good touch and kind of crafty finishing moves and dribble moves to be able to get himself open, which is huge because his frame is not very good. He probably comes in to Cleveland weighing about 180 pounds, 6'3", 6'5" wingspan. Not ideal. Doesn't really have kind of broad shoulders or a really strong frame that I'm confident he's going to be able to add weight to in the same way like a John Morant does. And I think that he's going to probably struggle a little bit as a finisher and playmaker immediately in the league. He's going to have to really continue to work on his craft, and I think he's really going to have to work on trying to get as strong as he possibly can, because I think that he is going to have a lot of problems finishing at the rim next year against NBA contact, and I'm a little bit worried about that. Also, not the best passer for a true point guard type. I kind of wonder if he is going to be a guy who truly elevates the rest of the team from the point guard position, that he may end up kind of being similar to Sexton, where his best role also may be as kind of like a microwave scorer, and you need other playmakers around him to make him truly successful. So that's kind of my big concern, is now they have two guys in Sexton and Garland who are both not great playmakers at the point guard position, and you just brought in a coach in John Beilein, whose offensive system is predicated primarily on ball movement. And that's a little bit concerning to me.
Tell me about Kevin Porter Jr. I feel like there's a lot to like, a lot not to like as well. Did it feel like worth the risk to fork over a couple second rounders and $5 million for the 30th pick and take KPJ?
I think in a vacuum it was a great pick, but if you already have Garland, I really worry about Porter. Because, again, here's another guy that his primary skill is his ability to create shots for himself. And he really struggles to create shots for others, which you need a primary creator to be able to do. So while I know he was really high on their board, I know he was a really, they were a really big fan of his and they really wanted to jump up to get him just to get another talented player on the board. He's going to take a lot of development to turn into the player that I think they need him to be. He can definitely get there. I mean, he is probably the last guy coming off the board that has like true, like creator potential, just because he is so good at getting to shots in isolation. He is so good at attacking the basket in transition, but he's not a great decision maker. We've seen kind of some character concerns from him at USC. He's a guy that I think could end up just being like another Nick Young. So I think that that's a little bit concerning, is that they've kind of now grabbed another bench scorer who doesn't necessarily provide a ton else. And I really think that he needs to kind of work on everything else besides kind of the basketball part to really make full use of his value.
Trevor Magnotti with me. I'll get you out of here on this. I mean, it sounds like, okay, so you got a whole bunch of guys. You might need more than one basketball between Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, and Kevin Porter Jr. if they're all going to be on the floor together. Dylan Windler is not going to create for any of his teammates, but at least he can move without the ball, Trevor.
Yeah, I like the Windler pick. I think that he's a useful guy, especially in the role that they're probably going to have him play at the small forward position. He's a really tall shooter with good wingspan. He's 6'8", I think, has a 6'10 wingspan, and has proven himself reliable as an off-the-catch shooter, off-movement shooter. And I think most importantly, he plays a lot bigger than his size.
Right.
He's a guy who averaged over 10 rebounds a game at Belmont, which I don't think he's going to do in the NBA, but means that he's at least going to be passable there. He's comfortable defending power forwards. I think the real utility of Windler is he's the guy who I think you're going to see play a lot of how they played Jetty Osman when Kevin Love was injured in December, January, where he's the guy who's going to slide up a position when they decide to go small, play as like a pick and pop four, and most importantly, defend those power forwards that Osman really struggled with night in and night out last year. I think that Windler is a lot better for that. It's going to free up Osman to play more on the perimeter where he's more comfortable to be able to create a little bit more. And I think that that's an ideal setup. I think that he was one of the better players available for them at that 26 pick. And I think that he was kind of the best value pick that the Cavs made on draft night, just in terms of what he's going to be able to bring to this specific team next year.
Come on. You got David Nwaba to defend the fours, Trevor. I mean, come on. The plan is there. Let me just ask you before you go, do you think Windler is defensive? You know, can he defend fours? Do you like his defensive potential?
Yeah, I think that he's going to be fine. I mean, he's not going to be a guy who is he's all world stopper or anything. But I think he's versatile enough that he's going to be able to do it on occasion. He's going to be able to switch on the perimeter a little bit. He's got good technique and he tries hard. And I think that those are the two things, if you're not an elite athlete, that you need to be able to do to survive on defense. I'm mainly talking about, you know, Nwaba can defend a lot of fours, but you also can't play Nwaba probably 30 minutes a game because of the limitations that he has on offense.
Sure.
So I think that when they're looking for a guy to kind of slide into the spot around Nwaba when, you know, inevitably Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson probably misses 10, 15 games again next year, I think that that's where kind of that value for Windler comes in. And I think long-term, you know, he provides a good option for that they don't necessarily need to continue to look for guys who can play full-time four with their kind of stocked center rotation. I think that they can kind of use Windler and continue to kind of go a little bit smaller, knowing that they can use him in minutes at the four, and they can also play him a little bit at the three, and he can be versatile for them.
Trevor, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time. Have a good Sunday, brother.
Yep, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Trevor Magnotti. You can follow him on Twitter at Illegal Screens. Make sure you check out all of his stuff for the Step Back Pod, and he writes some good pieces as well on FanSided. And, of course, Trevor joins us, as all guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Okay, like a negative viewpoint. I mean, we've all been sort of, you know, lollipops and gumdrops and rainbows as far as the Cavaliers draft go. Did Trevor sort of open your eyes a little bit? Do you, Do you view maybe that pairing between Sexton and Garland as a little bit more of a negative based on what Trevor said, or did you have any of those opinions in the first place on Thursday night? Because I know I was on with Chico. I know a lot of the negatives that we got were just based on the fact that people wanted Culver. And it sounds like that was kind of where Trevor was. He thought Culver would be a great fit next to Sexton. I imagined that the Cavs would surround Sexton with guys who would accentuate his game a little bit, just so we had a better sense of who Colin Sexton was and what his potential was moving forward. But they said, you know what, we're going to draft another guy with a very similar skill set, and we're just going to play the both of them together. And there's a good side to that, and there might be a bad side to that.